Last week, I started a short series on maturity, growing deeper in our walk with Christ. And we saw that maturing in Christ is not something that just happens right away, but it is a lifelong pursuit. To be more like Christ and knowing Him deeply and desiring others to have what we have in Christ, that's maturity. So in moving forward in maturity, what does that look like? We know from last week that it is an intentional and active move toward Christ. Intentional and active are key words because they require us to get up, to go, and to do. And I realize that without the help of the Holy Spirit, that we would flounder. But with Him, we can move toward Christ confidently. Sometimes our human nature wants to resist this, though. Sometimes our human nature doesn't want to do those intentional movements towards Christ. Sometimes our human nature just wants to sit on the sidelines and kind of watch everyone else go and do. And there's an element that comes with maturity in general, not just spiritual maturity, but I want you to think back when you were in your late teens, early 20s. Maybe you're there right now. And you don't have to think back. Maybe you're like me and have to think back a little bit. Or maybe some others, you have to think back a long ways. But think back to that time when you were late teens, early 20s. It's around those years in maturity that you looked for independence, or looking for independence. As you mature, you're wanting and behaving in a way that seeks to no longer be dependent on your parents or your guardians. There's an inward drive to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. Now, I realize maybe not everyone here was seeking their independence. Maybe there are some here that kind of had to get a little boot from parents. But generally, that's the case. As we grow, we want that independence, that desire to live and be an adult. That may be what maturing looks like at that age, but what about maturing in Christ? We know that when we put our faith in Christ, we're told that we're spiritually infants. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or you're 75 years old. When you put your faith in Christ, you're born again. Is there a similar desire for independence in your spiritual maturity? I know some of you are wondering, where are you going with that one? This is where things get a little interesting. Obviously, the more mature we are in Christ, the more we rely on Him and His Holy Spirit. Our dependence is more on Christ the more mature we get. We are more fully dependent upon Christ and less dependent on those who are discipling us. We're less dependent on others directing our faith for us. And I think about this as a child. Growing up in a Christian home, my parents had a huge influence on my faith. They directed my faith at different times. This is where you should be looking. This is what Christ looks like when He is in your life. My parents directed a lot of that. But at some point, I had to make that faith in Christ my own. And that is relying on Christ to direct my faith and less of my parents directing it for me. I hope that makes a little sense. but there can be a fine line. The reality is we need to be more dependent on Christ and trusting of Him and less dependent on others for our spirituality. But at the same time, we are all one body working together, so we're never independent of each other. But our relationship with Christ, our love of Him and our trust of Him, does not waver based on what others are doing around us. Hopefully that's a little clarifying. But I think one of the best ways to help understand what I'm trying to say and trying to get by is by reading a passage found in Hebrews, starting with chapter 5, verse 11. So if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. I'll also have it up on the screen, but this might be one of those verses, if you have your Bible, you might want to highlight, underline. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. When I began talking about this series in maturity, I will tell you that this is the passage that ultimately comes to mind when I think of maturing in Christ. When I'm talking about growing spiritually, going and doing, these verses really hit home. There are so many little tidbits that can go unnoticed if we do not take the time to look at them in this passage. In verse 11, they are slow to learn. The author is pointing out that this audience has been slow to learn. Other versions or translations say dull of hearing or sluggish in hearing, and is pointing to the same idea. There is something keeping them from moving forward. There is something keeping them from fully understanding and living God's Word. Was it due to a hardness of heart? Was it due to not wanting to learn? Was it due to sin still in their lives? Was it pride? Was it due to an overall passive view of Christianity? Christianity is active, if you don't know. A passive view is just simply sitting on the sidelines and watching others live out their faith. Or was it simply because they were rooted in their ways and didn't want to grow or learn or hear? In verse 12, they get rebuked. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but instead, you need someone to teach you elementary truths of God's Word over and over and over and over again. Now, there's a little emphasis on a few extra overs by me, but you get the idea. The author is saying we need to mature as believers. We need not to be slow in our learning, but actively learning. There is a point where it's expected that we take what we have learned and put it into practice and pass it on to others, teaching it. This is truly a humbling point for many people. If you were asked to briefly summarize Christianity, what would you say? If someone asked you about your faith, would you have an answer? Why are you different? Would you have an answer? Hopefully they would notice you're different. Could you give basic truths of God, basic truths of Jesus based on His Word? The author of Hebrews makes a comparison, milk versus solid food. Those that are still taking in milk are those who are immature in their faith and need constant feeding. Those on solid food are more mature in their faith and are able to rely on Christ and His Word for nourishment. Every time I read these verses, I can't help but think of a message I once watched and listened to that was given by a man named Francis Chan. A great pastor, great author, a tremendous man of God. But something he did in his message kind of burned an image in my mind. You think of an adult being someone who's mature. A little dry. You want some? You want some? Kind of looks funny. What would you think if you walk into a store? And you've got someone sucking on a bottle of milk out of a baby bottle. I really think I need to make that hole bigger, but it just doesn't look right. Something's not right. It would be odd. But this is something we see and we can identify with. It's not right, but spiritually, sometimes there are people that's the way they are. They don't want to change. They want to stay that infant. Feed me. Feed me. The pastor didn't feed me this week. Church leaders didn't feed me this week. I went to church and nobody there would feed me. That's what the author of Hebrews is getting at with this group of Christians that he's writing to. They're so busy on wanting others to feed them that they have no desire to grow. They have no desire to move to solid food. If you think about an infant, when they cry, what do they do? What do parents do? We scoop up our infant when they're crying and we comfort them. We hold them. We check their diaper. We change them. We give them milk. Give them food. Kind of the three things that happens when an infant is crying. Sometimes it can be easy for a Christian to say, well, everybody else is taking care of me. I have no reason to do anything different. Yet there are many demands set. Feed me. Something happens. They run for comfort. in someone else instead of running to Christ first. When there's a mess in their life, they look for someone else to clean it up instead of looking to Christ. Now, as a new believer, that's what it looks like. It does. As someone puts their faith in Christ, that's what it looks like. But someone who's put their faith in Christ 20 years ago, and they still look the same as they did 20 years at the beginning, there's a problem. There needs to be more of a reliance and more of a dependence on Christ. That's the goal. That's what it looks like. Not to stay the same. Now, this can be taken too far as independence goes. You see, as a church, we do and we encourage one another. We do lift each other up. We comfort those who mourn. Again, we mourn with those who mourn. We look for good preaching of the Word. We want the Word taught. So those are things that we look for. So we don't want to take it too far in independence and saying, I can do it all myself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying our dependence has to be on Christ. We do depend on Him. And we get encouragement from one another. We also learn to feed ourselves through God's Word. You know, you're going to hopefully hear a little bit of God's Word on a Sunday morning if I'm preaching. But what are you doing to feed yourselves the rest of the 6 days? Because if you're just coming for milk on a Sunday morning, it is not going to last you till next Sunday. The desire is to be able to feed yourselves in God's Word throughout the week, to grow. We are growing spiritually in the Word and our dependence on Christ. Verse 14 gives us a goal. In maturity, we are able to eat solid food because those who are mature have trained through constant practice. There is training, learning, and spending time in God's Word. There is constant practice. They are living what they have learned. They are living in Christ and putting into practice those things, learning and doing. But what is learned and done? Let's look at some more scripture. Let's look at a little bit more on when it comes to maturity. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given us. Christ apportioned it. We have this portion of Scripture to help us see what moving toward maturity looks like. Now, Paul was in prison for the sake of Christ when he wrote this. He was in actual prison when he wrote this letter. That's why he wrote as a prisoner for the Lord. But his urge is that Christians he's writing to do what? To live a life worthy of the calling. Now, Paul uses some different wording in Philippians 1:27. I'll just share with you. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The premise is that as a Christian, you will live your life and conduct yourselves in such a way that aligns with Christ Himself. Learning and practicing Christ. That phrase, what would Jesus do? I think I grew up in an age when that started. It faded a little bit, but I think it's come back a little bit. I've seen some WWJD bracelets. But it's not just a nice phrase to say. really take it to heart. What would Jesus do? That's what it is to learn and practice Christ. That's how we are to live like Christ. But what would Jesus do? How are we going to know what he would do if we don't know him? We need to know Christ to be able to live like him. The Apostle Paul highlights a few things to help us know what specifically we're to do. If we're working on maturity, there's a few things to pay attention to. Be completely humble. Well, what does that mean? It means it's not all about me. I need to put my pride aside. I need to put Jesus first and also look at the needs of others. Sometimes our pride might keep us from seeing where we have fallen short. Because if I'm so busy looking at how other people are making mistakes, because, you know, I've got everything figured out, I'm not seeing my own mistakes. I lack humility. To be humble might be understanding that we might exhibit some maturity, but we have much farther to go, because we know maturity is a lifelong pursuit in Christ. What's another area to grow in for maturity? We're told by Paul here in Ephesians, gentleness, patience, and love. Verse 2, gentleness, patience, and love. You will also find these listed in Galatians chapter 5 with regard to the fruit of the Spirit. They are the result of living a life worthy of the gospel. As followers of Christ, these are things that we should see in our lives. They are fruits. They are things to strive after. Gentleness, patience, and love. If the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, we should be seeing these. But why do they have to be so difficult? It's like this scripture was directed right at me. Gentleness, patience, and love. They are things that we have plenty of opportunities to show on a daily basis. We have opportunities to constantly practice these every day. These are the things that we can do no matter the circumstance, no matter who we are around. There never seems to be a short supply of opportunities to show gentleness or to show patience or to show love. The short supply is often in our fulfilling to show these daily. That includes me. Can show those every day. Another area of maturity is found in our relationships with others, a bond of unity and peace. This letter was written to a group of Christians, but how often do we see disagreements in churches? The church is filled with many different personalities, different backgrounds, and different ages. Is it our desire to be unified and worship together peacefully? Fortunately, I'm thankful for our church here. But we need to constantly be asking, because that's not always the case at other places. You know, I think we've all seen a 2-year-old throw a temper tantrum. Sometimes it's kind of funny. It's a whole other thing to see a grown adult temper tantrum. Yet they happen. And they happen in church. I want my way. I will get it at any cost. Even if it causes disunity and conflict, I want my way. That's immaturity. Let's continue on in Ephesians verses 11 through 16. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to... Actually, where am I at? Sorry. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love, as each part does its work. This section of Scripture points us to the fact that we need to grow so that God's purpose will be fulfilled in our lives. Remember in Hebrews where the author said, you still need to be taught basic truths when you should be teaching. This is where the teaching comes in. Jesus appoints some as to be apostles, others prophets, others yet to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and others to be teachers. Why? It is to prepare God's people for works of service, to equip God's people for ministry. We move from being infants to adults. We move from being served to being servants. We move from being taught to being teachers. We move from immature to mature. As someone has prepared us in serving the Lord, we look to prepare others. That's discipleship. It's a cycle that never ends. Someone invests in us to teach us about Christ. We depend on Christ, we live for Him, and we in turn invest in others. And that continues. That is making disciples. So again, as someone has prepared us in serving the Lord, we look to prepare others. Are we looking for opportunities to invest in someone's life? To teach, to guide, to speak truth, to authoritatively speak God's word, to encourage and to show others who God is, what He wants, how to live in God's will and be the example to follow. That is what it looks like to live as a more mature follower of Christ. Yet even as a more mature follower, they don't stop learning either, even as they share with others. I will be continuing to learn until I'm at the feet of Jesus. There's always more that Christ has for me to know, to learn, for me to do, or to invest. Each person who is a follower of Christ is a part of the body of Christ. It's kind of what we're hearing in this scripture, that we're all a part of the body of Christ. So as each person grows, they are building up the body of Christ to operate in unity. Working individually, yes. Working together, yes. Building up faith and growing in the knowledge of Christ. Faith and knowledge are two areas that we build up and grow in as well. But what are we doing to grow? Are we spending time in God's Word? You know, has there been someone that has invested in us, that we can take what we've learned from them, put it into practice, share with others? See, sometimes struggles and trials, we end up going through those. And God uses those to help us to grow. Forces us to rely on Him more. Sometimes it isn't until we go through a struggle that we really learn what it is to depend on God. But that's what sometimes the Lord has to do to get us to get our independence from others so that we can depend on Him more. But again, there's that fine line that still we're a body together. We encourage one another. We still build each other up. So I don't really know how to preach this other than you learn to live it. We come to build each other up, but we depend on Christ for everything. Maturity in Christ is something we strive for. And in case you missed it, Paul helps us to see what maturity is, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you notice the word measure in there, I think that was back verse 13, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you notice that word measure, measure is something that you must have a standard for. To measure length in the U.S., we use inches, feet, yards, miles, right? To measure weight in the U.S., we use ounces, pounds, tons. Those are standards. To measure a man's faith, to measure a godly person, what's the standard? That's Jesus. We're going right back to Jesus as our example. He's also our standard. The fullness of Christ is everything He is and was and everything He taught and did, everything about Him. The absolute fullness of Christ is the standard by which we aspire to attain. And I put aspire to attain because until we get to the feet of Jesus, we are not going to be perfect. We will always have something to grow in. There will always be something that that we can grow. We pursue maturity in Christ so that we are no longer like infants in our faith who are thrown back and forth and tossed here and there by every teaching that is heard. Not every teaching, not every religious thing that you're going to hear is going to be from the Bible. I think even a youth group on Wednesday talked about just doing searches on the internet. Not everything you read on the internet is going to be accurate. There's going to be flat-out lies, untruths, things that are just so completely out of this world. You have to be careful. How do we know what to listen to? Because there are going to be some things that we hear that are going to sound good to our ears, but they are the furthest from the truth. That means we need to be in God's Word. We need to be feeding. Sometimes we don't always like the truths that we hear from Scripture. Sometimes those truths can hurt. Sometimes convictions of sin in our lives, they hurt. But if done in love, it promotes growth instead of tearing down or shunting growth. Our goal is to grow in our relationship with Christ, and we can grow together as one body.